Matthew chapter 14, and we have here the story of the Lord Jesus Christ feeding this great multitude. And just reading it and looking at it, how can you take two fish, five loaves, and feed 10,000 people? Well, with men, impossible, right? With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 14. The Lord Jesus went forth and he saw this great multitude, some running, some walking, coming to the Lord, and he was moved. He was moved. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with pity, moved with love toward them. And he healed their sick. He healed them, and then he fed them. What a Savior we have. So that'll be the title of the message, Christ Was Moved With Compassion. Now you just think about that statement for a minute. Almighty God being moved with compassion. Remember the scriptures about our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knew these people, they had a need. They had a need of healing. He knew that these people were going to be hungry. And on purpose, he goes to this desert place to show how he provides for his people by his purpose. The Lord is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. As David said many times in the Psalms, I am poor and I am needy, yet the Lord thinks upon us. Our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is full of love. He is a God of love. God is love. He is full of love. He is full of pity and he's full of great power. He has all power in heaven and earth to save his people from their sin. He came for that purpose. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those who are whole, don't need a physician, but the sick. He came to save sick sinners. He came to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Thank God for his compassion. Thank God for his love toward his people. Now, in this story, the Lord feeding this great, great multitude, and I think well over 10,000 people, we read down there in verse 21 about 5,000 men besides women, besides their children. So this is a large, large gathering. And what's interesting about this particular miracle of the Lord, it's recorded, and I think someone said it's the only miracle that's recorded in each of the four gospel records, Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John chapter 6. It's certainly something the Lord recorded for us that we would not just overlook it. He recorded it so we would not overlook it, would not overlook this great miracle of God's mercy to hungry, sick sinners. Hungry, sick sinners, and he healed them. He healed them all. So the Lord intends for us to give it special attention that we might see his glory and his beauty. Now, verse 13 and 14, when Jesus heard of the passing of that great prophet of God, John the Baptist, who was beheaded by Herod, they took up the body and they buried the body and they went and told the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he heard it, he departed by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. He healed the sick. Now, the Lord does everything he does on purpose. We read there in Mark chapter 6, he said, come yourselves, apart into a desert place and rest for a while. There was much turmoil, much commotion, and the Lord said, we just need to step aside and rest for a while. Rest for a while. Now the Lord departed by ship to the other side from Capernaum, and he went into the ship there on the Sea of Galilee and went over to a town called Bethsaida, which is, if you look at your map, it's not that far, but again, it is a distance. And he takes ship with his apostles, and then the people, they find out and they follow him around. Great multitudes followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased, it says in John chapter 6. In Mark 6, it said, the people saw them departing, and many knew, and ran afoot out of the cities, and outwent them, and they came unto him. They actually, some of them, got ahead of him, and when he got to the other side, they were waiting on him. Now, those who truly desire to seek him and be with him and to learn of him and to worship him don't mind to travel a distance to be with the Lord and his people and to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some people of this congregation who travel a good distance to be with us each week. And we can say with David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The Lord turned this desert place, and he goes there to this particular place on purpose. He sets this all up by his sovereign providence to show that he is a God who provides all things for us. The Lord turned this desert place into an oasis. The Lord turned this desert place into a pleasant paradise for these people, a desirable place. To be with him and to be with his people is a mercy of God's blessing to us. We should never take it lightly to come and to hear the word of the Lord and to fellowship with the Lord's people and to worship the true and living God. The Lord of glory, in verse 14, when he saw this multitude, upon seeing this great crowd of sinners coming to him, he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed them. It says there, he healed their sick. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of pity, great sympathy, love toward his elect, his chosen, his bride. You remember the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is a scripture that's often misquoted and misapplied. But it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, his people, his children, his elect, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is long-suffering and merciful. He's a merciful and faithful high priest unto his people. We read in Lamentations chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness unto us. And then that great chapter that Paul writes, by inspiration of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says, it's all about his love, his love, his love. And then it says, his love never fails. His love never fails. He never stops loving his people. He's loved his people with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness does he draw us to himself. His love does not fail because he cannot fail. Now, we've seen this healing before. Turn back over here, and we're going to see it again. But turn back over here to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and then we'll look at another place here. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 14 there. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Now that ought to encourage us to seek mercy where it's found. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased, I put my spirit upon him, He shall show judgment to the Gentile. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. They'll trust him. He is a compassionate Savior unto his people. And we're going to see this again. Look at the last part of Matthew chapter 14. We're going to see this again in this chapter. Matthew chapter 14, when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that he might only touch and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Reach out and touch the Lord. Just the hem of his garment. Touch him. Because the Lord is merciful, he delights to show mercy to sinners in need. He does not turn away from this great crowd of needy sinners. He turns toward them. We're going to study, Lord willing, on Wednesday evening from Psalm 86. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy, and in truth. The Lord is long-suffering to his people. I want you to hold your place there in Matthew 13. And this time, turn over here to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, this story is given again in Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 10. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke 9, verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, now watch this, verse 11, they followed him. He received them. He spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. You see that? What did he do? He received them. The Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then it says, he spoke unto them about the gospel. He spake unto them of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke unto them. Remember the scripture from Luke chapter 4? Well, let's just turn back and read it. You're there in the neighborhood. Turn back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. The Lord in that hometown synagogue. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why he came. He came to save his people from their sin. So he received them. Look back at Luke 9, verse 11. He received them. He spake unto them the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's grace concerning Christ and him crucified. And then he healed them that had need of healing. Everyone that had need, he met their need. You remember Isaiah 53 where it said he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. With his stripes we are healed. He is our healing. There's no healing apart from him. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, didn't he? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He not only healed them, turn back to Matthew chapter 14. He not only healed them, but he also fed them. He fed them. He is the Lord who provides all things for us. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now look at verse 15. This is Matthew 14, verse 15. And when evening was come, the sun was setting, his disciples came to him saying, "But we're in this desert place, And it's well past supper time. And the disciples say, send the people away. Just send them away. Send them into town. Send the multitude away that they may go into villages and buy some food, buy some victuals. And the Lord said unto them, they need not depart. Give them to eat. So the disciples said, you send them away and let them go buy some food. And the Lord said, they don't need to depart. Give them. Now there's two words that are contrasted there. In the last part of verse 15, by themselves, go buy some food. And then the Lord said, you don't need to buy food. I'm going to give you everything you need. There's the difference between grace and works. Buy something or the free gift of God. The free gift of God. Disciples knew they could not feed this multitude. But instead of looking to the Lord for leadership, direction, they come up with their own idea, their own solution. We'll just send the people away. Just send them away. Let them go into town and buy their own food. We have only here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They only looked and reasoned among themselves, and they saw the difficulty instead of relying upon the Lord of glory, who possesses all possibilities. Now you think of everything they have seen and everything they've been through and all the preaching they have heard, and yet instead of coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, what should we do? They come up with their own solution. Well, just send them away. Send them away. Instead of relying upon the Lord, they started looking to themselves for solution. Anything too hard for the Lord? With the Lord, all things are possible. And here's a lesson for us. How often do we do the same thing? When we are faced with difficulties, dilemmas, and troubles, instead of first seeking the Lord's direction, wisdom, and will, we strike out on our own to fix things. We're going to fix things. We're going to make it right. And what we usually do, we mess things up worse. We make it worse. Instead of waiting upon the Lord, looking to the Lord, asking the Lord for direction, asking the Lord for wisdom, David often in the Psalms, he says, wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait upon the Lord. And the wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He'll direct your path. The Lord Jesus Christ has a much better idea in verse 16. They don't need to depart. Give them to eat. The blessed words of grace, mercy, and comfort to the weary sinners. Give them. They don't need to depart from me. I'm going to give them everything they need. And the Lord does that for us, doesn't he? He said, don't part. He said, depart. He said, come. Come, I'll give you all things necessary. Come, don't depart. The Lord's words to us are always, come to him, look to him, believe on him, follow him, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Remember back in Matthew chapter 11, turn there if you want to, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Remember he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you rather go to town and buy or sit at his feet and receive all things freely by his grace? I think we see the difference between salvation by works or salvation by the grace of God. So come to Christ, follow him. We read in Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, listen to this. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What's he saying there? Salvation's free. Salvation's a free gift of God. This is the economy of grace. Everything's free. Everything is free. Notice he says, give them to eat. Every spiritual blessing that we receive at the hand of our blessed Savior is by the free and sovereign grace of God. He fed them freely. They didn't contribute. Did they contribute anything other than the necessities, what he multiplied? They didn't have anything. Everything was provided for them. And the point being this, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We're justified freely by his grace. Give them to eat. Well, verse 17, the disciples take a quick inventory and find out they have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that didn't belong to them. It belonged to a little boy that was there. Didn't belong to the multitude. They didn't have anything. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is that among so many people? But look what the Lord said. They don't need to depart. He said, you bring what you have and you bring it to me. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to use it. Bring them to me. Little is much in the hand of the Lord. Despise not the day of small things, the old prophet said. It is always the right thing, and the good thing to do is to cast your burden upon the Lord. What little they had, they took it to the Lord. He said, bring it to me. And the lesson for us is take our burdens to the Lord. You remember what we studied last week on verse 12? They went and took up the body of their beloved prophet John, and they buried the body. They didn't bury John. They buried the body, and they went and told the Lord Jesus Christ. A scripture that has meant a lot to me over the years that I've been here, in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall strengthen thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. When we were going through all those floods, someone sent me a little note with a little piece of paper in it with that scripture verse on it, and I had it stuck on my computer here for more than 10 years. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter writes, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's right to take our burden to the Lord. Now, what's going to happen? Well, we know what's going to happen. Verse 19, 20, and 21. The banquet of mercy is served up by one host, the Lord of glory. It's a banquet of mercy. Not of works. Mercy. The Lord commanded. Notice verse 19. I love that word commanded. The Lord commanded them. Commanded the multitude just to sit down. Sit still. Sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, the source of all mercy, source of all blessing, he blessed the bread. He thanked God for the bread. He broke the bread and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. The banquet of mercy is served up by one host, the Lord of glory. The Lord commanded the multitude to sit down and rest. Reminds me of what Moses said at the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He speaks here with all authority and power, doesn't he? He didn't ask the people, well, if you will sit down, I will feed you. He said, sit down. At his command, everything is done. He speaks with all authority, with all power. As someone said, no man spake like that man. Remember, don't turn, let me just read this to you. When the Lord finished that Sermon on the Mount, you remember in the last part of chapter 7, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He commanded them to sit down. And that's the same way he saved sinners, by his command. The Father had given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. I was thinking yesterday, I was sitting out in the yard, and the sun was big and bright, and I was sitting there on a bench, and I took my old work hat off. I just sat there and let the sun, I just felt that sunshine. And this scripture came to my mind. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give us the light of a knowledge of the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Who commands that sun to shine each day? God controls all that. And the same way He commands the light of the gospel in thy book revealed, I see the beauty and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, as a God-man mediator, looks to the God of all heaven and earth and gives thanks to the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, and he asks for blessing from the throne of God. We've seen this before. Turn back to Matthew 11 and look at this. We've seen this before. Matthew 11, you remember verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He blesses the bread, he blesses the fish, he gives thanks unto the God of heaven and earth. And then he gives what he blesses to his disciples, and they take what he gives, and they receive that from the Lord. And these 12 apostles, with baskets full that were never diminished, went throughout all that crowd and fed those 10,000 people. And they were all fed, they were all filled, and there were 12 baskets left over. Now, what does that teach us about the grace of God? You can't exhaust the grace of God. You cannot exhaust the love of God. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, there's a psalm, Psalm 78, that talks about the wilderness journey of Israel. And the question is asked, in that psalm, can God provide a table in the wilderness? You remember, they were out there, and most people think there were millions of those Israelites out there in the wilderness that came out of Egyptian bondage after 400 years. And the question was asked, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Did he? Yes. He rained down manna for 40 years and fed millions in that desert land. And here the Lord just takes these 5 loaves and multiplies it over and over. The Lord, in that wilderness journey of 40 years, he brought water out of the rock. And we know the bread from heaven, and that water out of the rock strike the rock, and out of that rock came water. That's a picture of Christ who was smitten for us. Now, in closing, and I've got a few minutes left. In closing, I want to use this story and make application to our day right now where we live. All of his miracles teach us a gospel lesson, a spiritual lesson on how God saves sinners by his grace. Now, there was a hungry multitude, right? They were a hungry multitude who were sick, right? What would you think that would represent? A hungry multitude, sick multitude in a desert land, that's all humanity, dead in sin, dead in Adam. We're all lost, we're all guilty, and we need to meet the great physician. We need to meet the shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. In Adam all died, in Christ shall all be made alive. Secondly, the loaves of bread and the fishes represent the gospel food that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is called what? The bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate that manna in the wilderness and died. Those who eat of this bread shall never die. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we are complete. The loaves and fishes of themselves seem very inadequate, but blessed by the Lord, it becomes a great blessing of substance, and the power of God is revealed. And that's what we have in the gospel. Thirdly, the passing out of the blessed food to the needy sinner shows us that God uses means to accomplish his righteous end and his glorious purpose in feeding these people. He uses means. He has predestinated the end, no doubt about that. But he's also predestinated the means to arrive at that righteous end. The disciples passing out the blessed food to the needy shows that sinners, that the Lord uses means to accomplish his purpose. The Lord has chosen to give the gospel to his servants, and we have this treasure in the earthen vessel that the glory of God might shine through the preaching of the gospel. As the Lord gave that broken bread and those fishes to his apostles and they distributed, so the Lord teaches us and he gives us the gospel. And what the Lord gives me, I try to tell you. I try to feed you with the preaching of the gospel. God has ordained that. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servant, for Christ's sake. So we preach the gospel as he's commanded us to do so. And God, through the preaching of the gospel, calls out his people. It pleased God, through the preaching of the gospel, to call out his people and to accomplish salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I sent out a TV message by Pastor Mahan on Saturday, and the message was from Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. It's the hearing of the truth that sets sinners free. Aren't you glad God sent you a gospel preacher to tell you the truth? Oh, I'm thankful he sent me one. The last thing, the satisfaction of the crowd. All that needed healing were healed. All that were hungry were filled. The supply never diminished. The grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ meets our every need. As the Lord supplied it abundantly in that day and freely in that day, so will he in this day. In Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead, right? In him all fullness dwells. And then it says in John chapter 1 verse 16... Matter of fact, these are the words of John the Baptist that said, of his fullness have we all received grace for grace because of his fullness. We are indeed complete in Christ. Now, I like this scripture in Philippians chapter 4 where it said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a storehouse of mercy, God's mercy to poor and needy sinners. The storehouse of God's mercy to poor and needy sinners is never exhausted. You think how many sinners God saved by his grace. And yet his grace is just new and fresh and real and powerful as ever. Two psalms, or one psalm and one scripture. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. And with him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And then Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Thou art a God. You remember Nehemiah 9:17? Thou art a God ready to pardon. Ready to pardon based upon our sin being paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ.